3 John chapter 1, verse 9. I wrote to the church, but Diotrephes, who loves to be first, will not welcome us. Verse 10. So when I come, I will call attention to what he is doing, spreading malicious nonsense about us. Not satisfied with that, he even refuses to welcome other believers. He also stops those who want to do so and puts them out of the church. Dear friend, do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. Anyone who does what is good is from God. Anyone who does what is evil has not seen God. Demetrius is well spoken of by everyone, and even by the truth itself. We also speak well of him, and you know that our testimony is true. I have much to write to you, but I do not want to do so with pen and ink. I hope to see you soon, and we will talk face to face. Peace to you. The friends here send their greetings. Greet the friends there by name. Father God, I just pray right now that you bless the word as we go through it, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. So last week, we read where John told Gaius how he was pleased to see that he was walking in the truth. He even started this chapter off by calling him the beloved, whom I love in truth. He told Gaius that he had been praying for him, praying that he would prosper in all things and have good health, just as his soul was prospering in the truth. And as I had mentioned last week, John was not telling Gaius that he was praying that he would be rich and never get sick. The word for prosper can mean to succeed. It's like saying, I hope things go well for you. And this is what he was saying. I want things to go well for you, both not only spiritually, but even physically. So the word of prosper can mean to succeed. It's like, again, it's like I had mentioned. So verse 2 has nothing to do with hoping for riches or excellent health that a person may never get sick or at all. Even though we may be believers, it still doesn't guarantee us that we will have good health and that we will be rich, as some do or have taught. So yes, John was delighted and he was pleased about what he had heard about Gaius. Gaius had the truth in him. And not only that, he was walking in the truth. He was a faithful man. His hospitality was right. It was spoken of greatly. He would take in strangers that were teaching in the accurate word of God. John said that the love of Gaius showed for the church was manifested by his willingness to serve others. And see, and that's how you can tell when someone really loves the Lord, because they have that willingness to serve, that willingness to reach out. So even when these teachers, after they had finished ministering in the area and they were ready to go, of course they were staying at Gaius's home or someone else's home, and Gaius would make sure that prior to them leaving, he would make sure that they would be ready for their next journey. He wouldn't say, okay, I fed you, now get out of my house, but he was always careful in making sure that these men were taken good care of, whether at his home or someone else's home. Because there was one thing that was understood about these men, unlike others, because you remember John had addressed the fact that there were false teachers that were going around. So Gaius was very careful on whom he would support and whom he would allow in his house. So because these men were not coming around to take advantage of the church, they were there to preach and teach God's word. They were not traveling for their sakes. They were traveling for the sake of the true gospel of Jesus Christ. So John said in verse 8 about these men, we therefore ought to receive such that we may become fellow workers for the truth. And what I mean by this is that he's telling them that we are only to support the true ministry of Jesus Christ, and not just any ministry just because it has the name Jesus over it or God over the place. And when you look at Gaius, he was an excellent example of what this was to be like. He was someone that John could say, hey, you want to know how to take care of these men of God who travel and come to your village or your city? Look at Gaius. Gaius, he's the one that you can look at and follow the example of. Gaius, whether he was a leader or not, he showed that sense of leadership, that sense of godliness. Now we get to the next verse, verses 9. Where the tone of John's letter begins to change a little bit. Why? Because of this guy named Diotrephus, who was a church leader. And it seems that this guy was into himself. He had to have everything his way. And I'm pretty sure you guys don't know anybody like that, right? People who have to have things their way. And it seems that this guy was into himself. He had to have things his way. We'll read where John says that after writing to him, he would not listen to what even John had to say. He totally ignored John. And we'll get into that. Now, let's read what John has written about Diotrephus. Follow me to verse 9. Now, remember, this letter is to Gaius. Verse 9, I wrote to the church, but Diotrephus, who loves to be first, will not welcome us. So John mentions this man by name. He is publicly rebuking Diotrephus. Even though John is seen as the apostle of love, he did not lose the passion of love because he was naming the person. And a lot of times people say, oh, you shouldn't name the church, or you shouldn't name the person. You don't lose any credibility by naming people who are wrong. If they're wrong, they're wrong. It's like moving into a neighborhood and someone comes over to your house and says, hey, is Miano School a good school, or is Lorena Velasco School a good school? And you know what? If we have had good experience with it, we'd say yes, or we would say no. But that doesn't make us a bad person. And so John is not being a bad person, because what he is doing, he is naming this person who was not following the command of the scriptures nor the examples of the other apostles. In Romans 16:17, Paul had addressed this type of attitude. He wrote, I urge you, brothers and sisters, to watch out for those who cause divisions and put obstacles in your way that are contrary to the teaching you have learned. Keep away from them. Even Paul was talking about that. So actually, Diotrephus was this kind of a person. And as we go along, we'll see that even though he was a leader, he was really not a good leader. So Paul had also written a letter to Timothy about a man named Alexandre in 1 Timothy 4, 14 through 15, how Alexandre had caused great harm to Paul. So he tells Timothy to stay clear of this guy, because Alexandre would not take heed to what was right. He would not follow what the disciples, the apostles were teaching. And you know, that's the same way things are going on today in churches. A lot of people, they don't want to listen to what the pastor has to say or the leadership has to say. You know, as long as you're teaching the word, don't try to tell me what I need to do or how I am to live my Christian life. But see, when we do that, then we are not following the ways of Christ, because Jesus even told his disciples, when they hear you, they hear me. And I'm not talking about some pastor like Diotrephus who's saying, hey, things have got to be my way, you do it my way. But it's about following the order of what has been taught to them. So Paul even warned Timothy. Evidently, Diotrephus had felt that he was in charge and he did not have to listen to anyone about how to run his church. He felt that he did not even have to listen to John, the one who was taught by Christ himself. John was the last of the apostles. He was probably the only living apostle of that day. And can you imagine, people would look at John and go, that's the guy. That's the guy that walked with our Lord. He saw the miracles of Jesus. He has the authority. And it wasn't the idea that John was pushing his authority. It was the idea that it was like, here this guy, he's an elder, he's an old man who once walked with Jesus. Now he has taught along with the other apostles who are gone by now. And when it came to John, Diotrephus saying, I don't have to listen to him. He did not care if there was any type of, he didn't even care if there was any type of public criticizing by John about how he was running things or what he was doing in his church. John said that Diotrephus not only loved himself and that he loved being in charge, he was a leader who was filled with pride, the type of pride that not only divides or separates a church, but it also will separate a person from God. And a lot of times people don't know when they're separated from God because they're so stuck into themselves. And when that happens, that person surely is not going to listen to those who are in authority. If you're not listening to God, you're not going to listen to people in authority. In his mind, he was the authority. I can imagine a man like Diotrephus, a leader in the church in some city, looking at John and saying to himself, why should these big shot apostles get all the attention and honor? Look at my ministry. It's just as good. And pride would lead him, like many others, to destruction. Diotrephes really was not showing the love of God by his actions. He showed no respect to anyone. Follow me now to verse 10. And before we do that, just to give you an example, just a little small example, it's not quite exactly the same way, but there's this guy, it happened this week, at the New York Post wrote this. It was this Democrat, he's a representative, and he was to open and close the 117th Congress. His name is Representative Emmanuel Cleaver, and he was to open up in prayer. And this is how he opened the prayer up. He said, may the Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon us and give us peace. Cleaver said during his two-minute invocation, peace in our families, peace across this land, and dare I ask, O Lord, peace even in this chamber. Now, that was a pretty good prayer, but listen how he ends it. We ask it in the name of the monotheistic God, Brahma, and God known by many names, by many different faiths. Then he says, a man and a woman. And what's so striking about this guy, he's a minister. He's a pastor. I saw him on Fox News, and they were questioning him about, you know, how people were reacting to this. So the thing is, it's like it says here, the New York Post said, the Missouri lawmaker did not seem fazed by internet reaction to his amen remark, posting video of the prayer to Twitter Sunday and writing, I was honored to deliver the opening prayer for the 117th Congress. So the thing is that what he had done, he had taken the word amen, which has nothing to do with a man. Even the Post, the New York Post even knew that. Even the New York Post even said here that to say that amen, it just means I agree, or so be it. It has nothing to do with a man. But he made it a sexist thing by saying a man and a woman. And I thought it was really, really interesting. It says, his decision to gender the word, however, comes just days after House Speaker Nancy Pelosi introduced new House rules that would honor all gender identities by eliminating specific terms such as mother and father, son and daughter, and aunt and uncle. Instead, only gender, natural terms such as parent, child, sibling, and parent sibling would be allowed in the next congressional rules. And that's what's going on. And that's what we have that is going on. And even though this is not exactly like Diotrephes, but it's similar too, because even though this so-called minister, he's a Methodist pastor, he could care less with people. He even said, you know, we have so many other things that are going on, you're going to make a molehill out of what's the big deal? His thing was, what's the big deal? And he felt that he was honoring, you know, everything. But see, as a Christian, you can't pray like that. That's not the way of a man of God. We don't pray to the monolithic God and Brahma. You know, it's like, what? And so when he was being corrected, he rejected, like Diotrephes. Diotrephes was being corrected, and he was rejecting it, even to the point he says, John, I don't even have to listen to you. Who cares who you are? Basically, is what he was saying. Who cares who you are? You can't tell me what to do. This is my church. And so this guy, I watched him, and he goes, well, maybe I'm just going to have to take a little bit more view of it. And I'm thinking to myself, well, you know what amen means. You know exactly what it means, and you know exactly what you did. And then he made the excuse. He says, well, you know, after the prayer, I had both sides, Republicans and Democrats, saying that was a good prayer. Of course, the world loves its own, you know. So the thing is, if he would have went up there and said, in Jesus' name, amen, you know, I would rather people hate me for that than for me to compromise my walk. And so Diotrephes was actually compromising his walk because he got into himself. and he compromised everything that he was taught. Verse 10, so when I come, this is what John is saying. So when I come, I will call attention to what he is doing, spreading malicious nonsense about us. Not satisfied with that, he even refuses to welcome other believers. He also stops those who want to do so and puts them out of the church. This is what this guy was doing. So he was totally the opposite. This was not an empty if that John was saying. John saying, when I come, I'm going to talk to him. This meant that he would be coming to address this matter with Diotrephes. He's going to speak to him personally about it. Because one, he was being very unruly. And two, because he was not manifesting a leadership that reflected God's love. And three, he was hindering the ministry and causing a division within the church. He would not allow any other teacher or minister to teach or preach the word of God in his church. And if he found out that any of his members were supporting the ministries, these type of ministries that he was saying, hey, I want you to do it, he would remove them from the church. He says, hey, if you're going, you can't come here anymore. So Diotrephes was not displaying a pastor's heart. He was not caring for the flock as Peter had instructed in 1 Peter 5, 2 through 3, when he wrote, care for the flock that God has entrusted you with. Watch over it willingly, not grudgingly, not for what you will get out of it, but because you are eager to serve God. Don't lord it over the people assigned to your care, but lead them by your own good example. But he was showing a bad example. And so this is what this congressman, he was showing a bad example of what a man of God is to be like. His prayer just totally just squashed everything a true man and woman of God is to be. It's sort of like, give in to the pressure, give in to, you know, I just want to, you know, because now we're not going to recognize a man, a woman, an aunt or uncle. We're going to say parent. We're going to say, you know, relatives. We're going to demolish the word. And then we get this, you know, Nancy Pelosi, you know, I mean, just like someone had said to her, why do you hate Trump so much? And she goes, I never said I hated Trump. I'm a Christian. I'm like, oh my gosh. So the thing is, you know, we have a lot to pray for. Our country is under the sinful boom right now. And the decaying of morality has excelled. And this is what happens when we begin not to follow the truth. So here's Gaius. He's following the truth. Here's Diotrephes. He's not following the truth. And you can see what's going on because he's not following the truth. So this teaching had been given to every man who Peter, Paul, and John, and many others had instructed each person that they had ordained to be leaders within the church, but not Diotrephes. He saw himself as the leader. He didn't believe that, again, he did not believe that he had to listen to anyone but himself. Because he saw himself above what had been taught to him earlier. See, he wouldn't even have been in that position if he had not been taught the gospel of Jesus Christ. But evidently, he left that position. He saw himself as a man of authority. Diotrephes was attempting to completely destroy the effectiveness of the apostles and especially of John. Diotrephes not only failed to receive John and the other apostles, but he also spoke against them. He was saying bad things about them. That's why John said he wasn't even satisfied with just turning people down. He even was going out and just giving us a bad name. And seeing this will happen. And I believe that when we start to follow the word of God and we do not compromise, we do not tolerate sin, then people will talk bad about you. They will put you down. And that's when we make the choice. Am I going to stay true to the Lord? Or I'm going to bend to the will of man. So he did fail. He failed to continue in what he was taught. But John said, when I get there, I'm going to deal with him. I'm going to speak out against him. I'm going to let it be known that this man is using malicious words. And what's so sad today is that there are too many men like this in the Christian circle. This past, like I said, what this congressman had done, it was horrible. People may see John as an apostle of love, but the Lord Jesus called him a son of thunder. He called James and John sons of thunder. And from what I understood, these guys, they did not take anything. They're being your face. And so here's this man of love, John, 1 John, 2 John. It was all about love. When you read the book of John, it's about Jesus Christ, God-man. And now here John is saying, when I get there, I'm going to take care of this guy. And I can imagine this old man going up against this guy, Diotrephes. Diotrephes, there's a big possibility that John probably removed him. Removed him from there. He had so much respect, I believe that Diotrephes could have been outnumbered and saw that, well, maybe I need to move on. Because it wasn't the idea that John was ready to box him. I don't know, maybe he was. I've seen some old men where they like pull up their pants and say, oh, you, come on. Like, you can almost blow them down. Some guys, they're still feisty. The older they get, the more feistier they get. And so I kind of wonder at times, was John that feisty? But I do know that that he had a lot of respect, and he probably had, when he went there, probably had a lot of backing. So he was going there to take care of them. I think there may have been a big thunderstorm there when John arrived to this church, because he said he was going to deal with Diotrephes. And again, like I said, it's too bad that there's men like him even today who will wreck a church if he is permitted to go on. And John knew that, and that's why he made the trip. In Romans 16, 17 through 18, it says, "And now I make one more appeal." This is Paul talking. "My dear brothers and sisters, watch out for the people who cause divisions and upset people's faith." That's what Diotrephes was doing. He was doing just that. But these particular men he was talking about, by teaching things contrary to what you have been taught, stay away from them. And in all reality, Diotrephes was teaching things contrary by the way he was living, by the way he was treating people. So you can put him in that realm of he was not teaching what he was taught by the apostles or by church leaders. 18th verse of this, it says, "Such people are not serving Christ, our Lord. They are serving their own personal interests." And that's what John said. He's after his own self-interest. He's about himself and not about the Word of God. You know, people can teach the Word of God and still be selfish. People can teach the Word of God. They can teach the truth and not live the truth. They can be the total opposite of what they're teaching. A lot of people say, well, I go to that church because, you know, he's teaching the truth. Yeah, but what is his attitude like? I've met people throughout my time as a Christian who had pastors that they would talk about, and they would say, man, our pastor, he's this and he's that. I mean, the guy, I'm thinking to myself, if this guy is the way you say that he is, how are you still going there? And I see people still support people like that, pastors who want to be served rather than being servants. And then Paul went on in Romans by saying, "By smooth talk and glowing words, they deceive innocent people." So here are some rules that he had broken. And if there was even more instructions, like in Titus, when Paul wrote to Titus, Titus 1, 7 through 9, he says, and this was the instruction of the leader. "For an elder must live a blameless life." And here it is. "He must not be arrogant." Diotrephes was arrogant. "Or quick-tempered. He must not be a heavy drinker, violent, or dishonest with money." I don't know if he was in that realm or not. I don't know. The verse 8 of Titus 1. "Rather, he must enjoy having guests in his home," which it appeared he did not. He did not have good hospitality. "He must love what is good." Evidently, he did not, because John is getting ready to go and talk to him about this. So here these things are laid out, what an elder is supposed to be, what a leader is supposed to be, what a teacher is supposed to be. And Diotrephes was failing these. And he went on and says, "He must live wisely and be just. He must live a devout and disciplined life. He must have a strong belief in the trustworthy message he was taught," which he was taught, but he wasn't following it. Then he will be able to encourage others with wholesome teaching and show those who oppose it where they are wrong. So because he was not following these teachings that were given to him by John and probably other leaders, Diotrephes was nowhere close to being the type of man of God that Gaius was. Gaius had a heart of love and hospitality. He wanted to serve and not to be served, unlike Diotrephes, who had a heart that wanted to be a dictator rather than a servant of God. And so if you ever go to a church, whatever, and that pastor has a dictatorship kind of attitude, he is not following God. As simple as that. Now follow me, 11th verse. Dear friend, do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. Anyone who does what is good is from God. Anyone who does what is evil has not seen God. So John's reaction to Diotrephes is surprising. Instead of expressing revenge, John encouraged goodness. John encouraged Gaius to imitate what is good. That is, to continue showing support and hospitality, even though Diotrephes was not. As humans, we usually imitate people. And I was really surprised as a young man when I was growing up and particular jobs I had. It was really funny to see grown men older than me acting like somebody else. You know, it was this one guy, if he came to work with a big old cigar, they ended up with a big cigar. If he was acting a particular way, some of them would act just like him, you know. And if you were to say, you know what, you're acting just like him. Oh, no, I'm not, you know. But we have a tendency of picking up little things from different people. Sometimes they're good, sometimes they're bad. But the thing is that here John is saying, don't be like this guy. Don't pick up his bad habits. John is encouraging Gaius to continue to follow what is good, for whoever does good is from God. Diotrephes might put pressure on Gaius, but Gaius should take a stand for what was right. If he were to give in to Diotrephes' pressure, he would be giving in to the evil. And whoever does that has not seen God, is no longer following God. You know, because true Christians are known by their action. And going back to this guy that at the 117th Congress prayer, he stepped away from that. He stepped out of the light into the shadow. How many times, I remember, I think it's in Isaiah, where Isaiah, God had basically told Isaiah, tell Israel, and I'm paraphrasing it, tell Israel, there is no other God beside me. God didn't want Israel to make any idols. He didn't want them bowing down to them. He didn't want them to even speak their names. And so who are we as Christians? What are we doing? Mention other names. There is only one, and his name is Jesus Christ. God sent his son, Jesus, to die for our sins. We can't be praying to Brahma. We can't be praying to other monolithic gods, whatever, you know, because it's almost like he didn't really even understand what monolithic mean. Monolithic says one and only. There's no other. And that's the God we serve. We don't serve God by any other name. You know, it's the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, period. That's it. In that order. Jesus said, anything you want, ask in my name and it shall be given to you. In his name, not any other name. We're not to move away from the light. We're to walk in the light. Because even John said, whoever walks in the darkness and said that they're in the light is a liar. So we have to stay true. True Christians are known by their actions. John wrote at length in his first letter about how believers must show love for one another. In 1 John 4, 8 and 16 says, those who do not love do not know God, for God is love. And if I love God, then I'm going to love the people. I'm going to serve the people. I'm going to have a shepherd's heart and not a dictator's heart. Again, he emphasizes that one who practices righteousness is a child of God, but the one who does not practice righteousness is not born of God. So maybe something went wrong along the way. Maybe Diotrephes didn't receive it. Maybe Diotrephes just did all the actions and he was chosen because what he was doing was fine. And then after he got that position, he begins to walk away from the things of God. I've seen ministers do that, especially some of these televised evangelists. You go back and look at their old footage, it was the word of God. Now it's prosperity, good health, and all these particular things, kind of mystic-like. Now we're going to read about another man that he's going to mention in this chapter, and his name is Demetrius. He was more like Gaius and nothing like Diotrephes. Follow me, verse 12. Demetrius is well spoke by everyone, and even by the truth itself. We also speak well of him, and you know that our testimony is true. So John here, he mentions Demetrius in a way that made him a complete opposite to Diotrephes. Demetrius exemplified goodness, whereas Diotrephes exemplified evil. So nothing is known about Demetrius except that he may have carried this letter from John to Gaius. A lot of people believe that he was the deliverer, the one that delivered the letter to him. And in the book of Acts, there's another guy that was named Demetrius, but he opposed Paul, but a lot of scholars do not believe that this was the same guy. When Demetrius arrived, Gaius certainly opened up his home to him. Whatever people said about Diotrephes, everyone speaking highly of Demetrius. Even truth itself. They saw the truth in him. Like they saw in Gaius, they saw it also in him. The goodness of Demetrius' life was evident when it was compared to the gospel standard of truth, which involves real acts of love and hospitality. In contrast to the corrupt Diotrephes, Demetrius, he had a high regard for the truth. He lived in the truth. And see, the question is, do you and I live in the truth? Do we really care about the things of God? If we truly love God, then we truly care about the things of God. And so when we look at this, and John is talking about Demetrius, his personality, it was a witness to the truth. In other words, he was saying that when you saw Demetrius, you saw the truth. Even John said, we ourselves can say the same for him, meaning that when you see Demetrius, you see the truth, because he is living out truth through his life. And that's what we are to do. So John and his co-workers also gave their commendations. The believers, especially Gaius, believed the accuracy of John's statements because John spoke the truth. And that's what we are to do. They believed in what John said. They followed what John said. They lived what John had taught. They didn't walk away from it. Because you know what? A good church teaches the word of God. And when people walk out the door and they live the opposite of what has been taught, then it's on them. It's not on the pastor. It's not on the teacher. It's not on the preacher. It's on the people that the word was delivered to. Like Diotrephes, he knew what the truth was. At least he was taught. He was taught by good men. But he left it because he wanted the strength and the power within himself. May even thought that he was still a Christian. And I've met people, I'm sure you have met people, who think they're Christians, but they're not even following the word of God. Heck, have them don't even read the Bible. Follow me, verse 13. I have much to write you, but I do not want to do so with pen and ink. I hope to see you soon, and we will talk face to face. Peace to you. The friends here send their greetings. Greet the friends there by name. So John will come, and he will speak again face to face with these men of the first century church. He will speak face to face with Diotrephes. I'm sure that was going to be a tough day for Diotrephes. And John will speak to Gaius and Demetrius, these wonderful men of God. He says, we will speak face to face. I don't want to write everything. I want to talk to you face to face. When Paul arrived near Rome, some of the brethren went to meet him, whom when Paul saw, he thanked God and took courage. He saw these guys and he took courage. And you could see that in Acts 28:15. And that was one of the reasons that John was going to give courage to Gaius, to give him that courage. So both Paul and John were not only soul winners, but also friend makers. Diotrephes was so oppressive that he had fewer and fewer friends. But John had more and more friends as he shared the love of Christ. And not the love of myself, not the love of me, myself, and I. He wrote, peace be to you. Our friends salute you. Greet the friends by name. It's such a wonderful letter, such a wonderful way to end the letter. John says, I want you to know that our friends who are here with me greet you and will greet the friends by name. So he was saying, tell everyone, we're going to, you know, greet them by name. Hey, John, you know, Mary, John said hello. You know, Rod, John said hello. You know, mention them by name. Let them know that we are so happy to hear about what's going on. He wanted them to personally greet them. So here we look and we have these people, Gaius and Diotrephes and Demetrius. These are the three men who were mentioned before us in this epistle. Christianity was on trial in the first century. Two of these men who were mentioned in this epistle are genuine. They are real and wonderful children of God. One is a delightful brother. Another is a dependable brother. The third is a dictator and a phony. And I don't want to be that third guy. I want to be one of the two guys. I want to be both. I want to be like Jesus, you know? But you know what? Some people think they are Jesus, but they can't walk on water. So John was not concerned about a church only, but also the individuals within the church. He was concerned about them because people were being hurt by Diotrephes. He was kicking them out of the church. You know, I can imagine Diotrephes saying, hey, I don't want you to support this pastor or this preacher or this teacher. Well, why? Because I don't want them there. And if I find out you're keeping them in your house, then I'm kicking you out of the church. He was kicking people out of church if he found out that they were supporting him. That is not the heart of a man of God. It's interesting to see the difference of these two letters and to see the balance of truth that John presented. 2 John was written to a godly church, which was a woman. You know, they say use the metaphor of woman and the members that were going to that church, while 3 John was written to a godly man about his church. John warned the elect lady about false teachers from the outside, but he warned Gaius about a dictatorial type leader inside the fellowship. A false teacher in 2 John would appeal to love so that they might deny truth, while Diotrephes would appeal to truth as in most unloving way, he would attack the brethren. I'm telling you the truth, but he would attack them. If you don't follow it the way I want you to follow it, then you're out of here. It's so important to walk in truth and in love and hold the truth in love. To claim to love the truth and yet hate the brethren is to confess ignorance of what the Christian life is all about. And John said that if we say that we love and we don't love our brother, he says that we're a liar, that we walk in the darkness and not in the truth. Our Christian life is to not only love God, but to love people, to love the truth, and to love one another. Because this is when we will show the spirit of the living God in our lives. But when any member of that assembly, including the pastor, become proud and tries to have the superiority, then the Holy Spirit is grieved and he cannot be blessed. The church may outwardly appear to be successful. It may look like everything's going great and wonderful. But on the inside, there can be turmoil going on. And again, the Holy Spirit cannot work and will not work in that type of condition. What we need to do is that we need more people like Gaius and Demetrius. We don't need anybody like Diotrephes. Even though there's not only leaders like that, there's people in the church like that. Again, because I've been in the church for so long, I have seen where people try to rule the pastor. I've seen where boards try to tell the pastor, you know, how long he can preach, what he's going to preach about. See, that is not a heart of love. I call it the heart of dictatorship. So when we look at this letter, we see that there was contention and conflict. Yet John appropriately ends the letter with a desire and expectation of peace. As Christians, we can and should have a sense of peace, even in the midst of difficult times. Christians have the resource in Jesus to have peace. Even in unsettled season, even when things aren't going well, we can still have peace in Jesus Christ. We must always seek the Lord's will. And that's one of the things, this I believe how we get offline sometimes, that we stop seeking his will and we begin to seek our own will. We must all love God. We must all love the brothers and sisters in the body of Christ. We cannot be like Diotrephes and please God. We are to reach out to others with godly love. And that's what we are to do. We are not to compromise our faith. We are not to compromise our walk. We are to be real real Christians. You know, it's sad that we have to say a real Christian. You know, real Christian. You know, because so many people saying, I'm a Christian. Well, have you ever seen beautiful diamond rings? They're not all real, are they? Some of them are fake. And we have people like that. They look beautiful, but they're fake. They're not real. And so if you and I want to believe, I mean, if we want to walk in truth, we must seek truth. We must desire to have the truth and be a part of the truth and not compromise our walk. Don't be a Diotrephes, not even in your family, but be a loving, godly person, because that is the way of God. That is the way of truth. Amen? Amen. Father God, I thank you so much for your word. Lord, may we apply this to our lives, Lord, and that is to be men and women of truth, that when people speak of us, Lord, they can speak of us as those who walk in God's truths, that we walk in love, that we have the peace of God ruling in our hearts, that we reach out to others and we serve others. We do not look to be served, that we are gentle and kind, and that our faith is so strong in you, Lord, that we do not waver. Lord, may we be true lights in this world. May we, Lord, be used by you as instruments to draw others to you, Father God. We thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.